HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Israel says the war in Gaza is raging again after Hamas broke the temporary ceasefire. Reporter Yotam Confino has the latest from Israel.
The Israeli army is telling Palestinian civilians to evacuate from certain areas in northern and southern Gaza to avoid being caught in a crossfire between Israeli soldiers and Hamas. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society says it has now received trucks with humanitarian aid through the Rafah border crossing. Yotam Confino for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
Vice President Kamala Harris, speaking at the COP28 climate summit in Dubai, is calling out climate change deniers.
Around the world, there are those who seek to slow or stop our progress. Leaders who deny climate science and spread misinformation. Corporations that greenwash climate inaction and lobby for billions of dollars in fossil fuel subsidies.
Leaders from some 150 nations are attending the summit at the United Arab Emirates. A series of storms is pushing through the Pacific Northwest with heavy rain and snow. Meteorologist Bob Orovic at the National Weather Service has details on what to expect.
Over the next 7 days, they will have some heavy rainfall amounts, heavy precipitation totals into northwestern California, and even a little bit farther south into the northern Sierra. But the brunt of it is going to be from extreme northern northwestern California northward through western Oregon and western Washington State.
Republican George Santos has been expelled from the House of Representatives. He still faces a 23-count indictment in connection with financial crimes, including using campaign donations for personal expenses. This New York constituent says everyone has just had enough.
It's not only Santos. It's all on both sides, both parties, the greed and the dishonesty. And, you know, people are not considering how it impacts the country as a whole.
Santos denies the charges. He is now the first member of Congress since the Civil War era to be removed without being convicted of a crime. The oldest Christmas tree lighting in the United States is in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and it doubles as a food drive.
The people are just going crazy.
Once Santa gets here, you can't move.
Santa and his elves are checking everything twice in Percocet.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
This is not just a massive holiday party. Kids can help others by donating a non-perishable food item to the Pinridge Fish Organization. They then become eligible for a drawing to help light this tree.
CBS Philadelphia's Kim Hudson says the annual event began in 1909. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Hey, it's
Did
Amanda.
You know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Friday was World AIDS Day. A woman whose son became the public face of the disease is reminding people to never forget the victims lost and the effort to find a cure. Here's Joe Ullery.
More than 40 million people have died from AIDS, including Ryan White, who grew up at a time when not much was known about it and medicine offered few treatments. Ryan contracted the disease during a blood transfusion at age 13. He became a staunch advocate against discrimination and helped change how Americans view AIDS. Jeannie White-Ginder says it's imperative to remember all the lost lives.
That is so important that we remember all the people who got us to where we are today, because they are no longer here. And I'm not just talking about Ryan, because Ryan was a face, but there are so many people that did all the work.
Just 5 weeks after Ryan's death in 1990, Congress overwhelmingly passed the Ryan White Care Act with bipartisan support. The legislation helps more people get tested for HIV and offers assistance to patients in all stages of the disease. Ryan's mom says AIDS affects people across the spectrum regardless of labels.
A gay person has it, a straight person has it, a blood transfusion person has it. It was for everybody. Once you have AIDS, you're just like everybody everybody else who has AIDS, you're fighting to stay alive. And people fought to stay alive, and people dedicated their lives to get us to where we are today.
She says Ryan would have turned 52 next week. His mom plans to travel to Indiana University on his birthday, where the Rural Center for AIDS STD Prevention will present the Ryan White Distinguished Leadership Award to Dr. Joe and Sarah Ellen Mamlin. I'm Joe Ullery. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Dow.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 30s. For tonight, some rain and snow. We'll see a low around 30 degrees, less than a half inch of snow accumulation. Some rain-snow mix for your Sunday, cloudy skies with a high near 37. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 39. Currently, 17 degrees.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, we're gonna have a good day.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Tonight, I will be talking with Kevin Collin, Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health and Services, about Wisconsin's new initiative to combat the caregiver crisis. Also, since November is National Family Caregiver Month, I will be talking with my son, Caden Crute, who is a college student at Edgewood College and is part of their Cutting Edge program for adults with disabilities. Tonight, Caden and his fellow students are going to be sharing their gratitude for the caregivers in their lives. And then lastly, I will be speaking with Felicia Claiborne, a board member of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, as she talks about the transportation crisis that impacts thousands of non-drivers throughout our state. I am Liza Hellenbrand, and you're listening to the Empower Caregiver Show. And joining me now is Kevin Collin from the Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Services. Kevin, I am unable to get anybody's last name right, no matter how simple it is. So did I get that right? How do you pronounce your last name?
A little off. It's actually Kevin Cochlin.
Cochlin. See, I knew it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Kevin.
No problem.
And thank you so much for joining me tonight. I wanted to talk to you about what is going on in the state of Wisconsin regarding the caregiver crisis. But before we dig into that, can you just tell me a little bit about your role at the Department of Health Services?
Yeah, thanks, Liza. I'm really honored to be here with you today and to talk about, you know, just a really critical and important issue. So my role, I work for the Department of Health Services, and primarily I do a lot of work in our long-term care space. So people that are on Medicaid but receiving long-term care in their own homes or in assisted living or other community placements. So I do policy work, and currently I'm leading one of our American Rescue Plan Act projects, which was some funding that we received during the pandemic to help improve our home and community-based services. So we're doing a number of initiatives, and the one I'm leading is on our workforce.
Well, thank you for the work that you do. It is so needed, and I can only imagine there's never enough hours in your day with everything going on. I wanted to ask you or talk to you tonight about the partnership that you have with UW Green Bay to help address the direct care workforce issue. Can you tell me a little bit more about this program and how people can find more or learn more about it?
Yeah. With our funding that we received through the American Rescue Plan Act, we've been trying for a number of years to really help support the caregivers in our state and to do a number of different strategies. And one of the things that we've heard nationally from some national experts in the field is the importance of having a training program that is built around competency, and it can also be portable, and it can lead to career advancements for individuals. So we spent about a year really researching and participating in some national workshop programs to learn more about it and to look at what other states are doing. And then it came around to the idea of really developing our own caregiver certified direct care professional position. So it was really designed similar to like a certified nursing assistant, kind of on that same level, where a person would get this certification and then every 3 years get recertified, and it would give them standing and really help elevate the really difficult jobs that they have, and to show that this is a professional position as well. So that was kind of the start. And we partnered with the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, and they were the ones that helped us create the curriculum. And it's based on 14 distinct competencies that we feel are really important for a direct care worker.
Okay. And that's where I was getting a little tripped up. You and I were talking before the show started, because UW Green Bay actually has on their website a Wisconsin Caregiver Academy. So they have many different areas in which they can support direct care workers and caregivers. But this is not... this program is something completely different. So I just want to clarify that, because I started out confused, and I want to make sure that you know, other people, if they are interested in this program, know exactly where to go and how it's different. So let's just throw that out there so I don't forget later. If somebody is interested in taking this course, where would they go to learn more?
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons we went with the University of Wisconsin Green Bay was because they have had years and years of this experience. They have the academy. They've done a lot of other work with community-based residential facilities and other assisted living facility training. So that was kind of one our go-to then, is to go really work with an expert in this field. To find out more about this program, if you go to www.wiscaregiver, and that's WIS, the word caregiver, CDCP.com, and that is, the acronym is Certified Direct Care Professional. So okay. Wiscaregiver, CDCP.com.
Okay, and Certified Direct Care Professional. Tell me what exactly that is, because I think that's another area where there's just a lot of confusion. You know, you hear direct care worker, you hear paid caregiver, and now we have certified direct care person. Are they all the same person?
Yeah, so it is it's a direct care worker that has chosen to really elevate their skills, take this training, become certified, and then that person is also on a registry, because they have to take a competency test to assure that they've met those 14 competencies that we built it around. And then it gives them that kind of that standing of, I am a certified direct care professional, similar to somebody that can say that I'm a certified nursing assistant. They've gone through standardized training. They show that they are competent in that field.
Okay, and two questions for you. So if I am a family caregiver, and I am not getting paid. Could I still take this course just for the educational purposes to make myself a better caregiver?
Yes, that's a great question. And we are offering that free to family caregivers as well. They don't get, you know, they don't get that next part, which is a bonus. And we're going to be talking about that in a little bit, I think. But yep. There's an opportunity to get bonuses too with this certification. Well, but as a family caregiver, they wouldn't be able to receive that part.
Okay. Well, now you spilled the beans, Kevin. You can't say bonus. We can't, and then say, oh, we'll talk about that bonus later. No, what's the bonus? I want to know what's the bonus.
Yeah. And that's a big part of it. So, anyone that takes our certified direct care professional certification, which is a 30-hour online on demand, so it can be done whenever a person wants to do it, and they can do it in short modules, they can come back to it. So when they complete that, they take a proctored exam, which is it's virtual, but it's live virtual. And they take that test. If they pass the test, then they're on the registry. And if they get a job with a provider who is in the community, so our home and community-based services, those are providers out there that are, you know, providing services in their home, in people's homes, in group homes, assisted living, those kinds of places, they would be eligible to get a $250 sign-on bonus if they're new. But if they're an existing employee at one of those providers, they would also get a stay-on bonus of $250. Okay. And then 6 months later, they get another $250.
Wonderful. So I'm asking for a friend of a friend who is, I guess, myself, because I also, I do some respite care work. And my question was, because I think this bonus would apply to me, is how many hours per week after you get the initial $250 bonus? Is there a number of hours, a number of clients? Is there any requirements to it above and beyond that?
No requirements. So this could be part-time, could be full-time. It could be sort of as needed. What we do is we validate after 6 months with that employer to make sure that they're still working for that employer. And okay. They'd get another $250. Okay. The check comes right to them in the mail. Does it go through the provider? It's they go to their mailbox and get that check.
Wonderful. Okay. And then let's see. What else was I going to ask? So if I'm understanding this correctly, you really want the goal for this is to become like a one-stop portal. Do I have that right for caregivers? I guess... What my question is here is, once individual caregivers go through this course, how can they make the connection?
Right. So we have another part of a scope of work that we're also working with Green Bay on, and it's called WISC Caregiver Connections. And that is an IT portal that connects our employers and our job seekers, those certified direct care professionals that are coming through.
Wonderful. And I want to learn a little more about that once we come back. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And when we come back, we'll learn more about this initiative to address the caregiver crisis in Wisconsin. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call, 1-844-967-2789.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the
city. You're listening to 93.5. The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Tonight I am talking with Kevin Coughlin, Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and we are talking about a new initiative that was rolled out to help combat the caregiver crisis in Wisconsin. So just a recap here. There is on Wisconsin Caregiver Careers website, there is a course that you can take. It is 30 hours on demand at your own pace. Once you complete this course, correct me if I'm wrong on this part, Kevin, you have to be linked to one of the care providers in order to get an initial $250 bonus. Is that correct?
Yeah, a provider that is serving our home and community-based services, but it could also be someone who self-directs their own care, or a respite care provider as well.
Okay, and so you take the course, you get a $250 bonus, and then after 6 months, there is an additional $250 bonus? I got that
correct.
Correct? Okay. Sure. And there's really no strings attached to that as far as how many hours per week you work, how many people you work with, just a retention bonus. Thank you for staying here. We hope that you're loving it. And I don't know how you can't love it. Like I said, I've done some respite work and it's always the highlight of my day. So tonight we are talking with Kevin Coughlin, the Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services. And so I want to ask, Kevin, many families work with different agencies. Some that come to mind in the Madison area are UCP, CLA, Catholic Charities of Madison. And within those agencies, there's also different funding sources such as Katie Beckett and IRIS. Does taking this course in any way help streamline you to be able to work with these different agencies and different funding sources?
Yeah, great question. And that was one of our main goals is to, you know, how do we kind of knock down barriers for caregivers and for providers and people that are sort of directing their own care. So the goal is really to kind of create this universal worker as a certified direct care professional where they can take that skills and work across different settings, different populations. It's not a one and done. People are still going to have to take more training based on, you know, their job assignments and the people that they're working with. But this is really good foundational training. And then another part of our work that's coming soon is what we're calling micro-credentials and virtual badging. And what that will do is we'll be, if somebody wants to upskill their kind of their resume and, let's say they really like working for older adults with dementia, they could get additional training in dementia and then get a micro credential. So on the registry, a person would have, would be a certified direct care professional and maybe have a badge as a dementia specialist or dementia challenging behaviors. So that would then be recognized on their registry, and also they could be using those virtual badges in their social media and different ways on their resumes and things. And on their WIS Caregiver Connections, where they can try to get connected to providers and different people looking for employees.
So that's wonderful. I mean, that's really a win, a win-win. It helps, one, give them the education that they need to be able to do their job well, but also, you know, I'm assuming with these badges and credentials, it can help really make this into a career, which, if I'm reading between the lines here, is something that you're working towards. Does that, can you tell me more about that? Because I know that, let's just say that entry-level caregiving, it doesn't have a great reputation, although it's one of the most needed positions out there, especially today. If you go on any job hiring site, you see direct care worker, caregiver, whatever you want to call it, just pages and pages and pages. So what's Wisconsin's goal to make this a career? What steps can people take, and how can you advance?
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the main goals was we really wanted to elevate these positions and to really show how important they are to Wisconsinites and the difficult job, and to make sure that they're being recognized. And actually, one of the listening sessions that we had with direct care workers when we were designing this was they got to name what this was going to be called, and they wanted the word professional in it. So we're really proud of that, having that certified direct care professional, because they are professionals in their work. But we also heard from them that they are interested in career advancement. So we're working right now. We've worked a couple different things with our sister agency, the Division of Quality Assurance, that kind of regulates assisted living and personal care agencies. We've looked at all of the regulations that require training, and we've identified some of those training that people can be waived from because they're a certified direct care professional. So that's kind of, they talk about latticing, where people can kind of work across and not have to be duplicative, you know, just kind of start from scratch every time they move to a new job. And then the other thing is we're trying to do laddering. So we're working to see if we can ladder from a certified direct care professional to a CNA. And in Wisconsin, if somebody wants to become an RN, a registered nurse, most providers or most schools require the person to be a CNA. So we're also in the high schools looking at helping kids that are in like youth apprenticeship programs and HOSA to see that, you know, as I come in as maybe a freshman even, I could become a certified direct care professional, start working, you know, get my feet in this healthcare field. If it's something I like, maybe I move on to become a CNA even while I'm a senior. And then, you know, they're ready to start their RN schooling after that. So there's lots of, we're trying to create that, so, sort of those pathways and to knock down, again, the barriers as much as possible.
Well, you know, I love that you said the feedback from the current direct care workers. Where is their voice in this? I mean, are they part of this process? Because again, I think it's a position that they feel a little powerless in, yet they're given a lot of responsibility. So where are the direct care workers in this training and you know, quite frankly, going forward?
Yeah, so they were a big voice in the development of it. So a lot of things that they suggested we incorporated as we were developing that curriculum. And then as we're moving forward, are the WIS Caregiver Connections, we are hoping that can be more than just connecting employers and employees, and then really have it a website that can support caregivers. And we've got some ideas on how to, you know, maybe even create networks of caregivers to talk to each other. things like that.
Well, that'll be wonderful. Thank you so much, Kevin. And please keep me in mind as these things roll out. If you can shoot me an email or whatnot, I would love to get it out across the state of Wisconsin and do everything that I can to help support the caregiver crisis.
That would be great. Maybe have me back next year, because we're going to have the curriculum in Spanish at that time.
Sounds good, senor.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The war in Gaza is raging again as Israel blames Hamas for breaking the temporary ceasefire. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with the impact on Palestinian civilians.
I mean, I'm not a chick.
We're not criminals. We're not terrorists, this woman said. We just want to live in safety and want our children to feel safe.
A spokesman for Pope Francis says world leaders attending the climate summit in Dubai must step up against global warming.
Greatly endangers all human beings, especially the most vulnerable in our midst, and threatens to unleash a conflict between generations.
Severe weather this weekend.
We've had some hail as big as golf balls. That was in Assumption Parish, eastern Louisiana, and will continue to be the threat for stronger to severe thunderstorms as we go throughout the day. Lower Mississippi Valley, some of this causing flooding.
That's the Weather Channel's meteorologist, Kelly Cass. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's the Badgers and Marquette today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team is facing a big challenge. They host the Marquette Golden Eagles at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers have won four straight. They're 5-2 so far this season. Marquette is 6-1 and ranked number 3 in the nation. The series between Wisconsin and Marquette goes back to 1917. The Badgers hold a lead in the series, 70-59. The Badgers women's volleyball team is still alive in the NCAA tournament. Wisconsin beat Miami in 3 straight sets and now heads to the Sweet 16. Next Thursday, they'll face a team that beat them just over 2 weeks ago, Penn State. NBA, the Bucks are at home tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. Milwaukee coming off that overtime loss in Chicago to the Bulls Thursday night.
You know, our screening, I think, could have been a little bit better. You know, they were doing a lot of switching as well. So, again, we just got to learn from this and get ready for the next game.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 30s. For tonight, some rain and snow. We'll see a low around 30 degrees, less than a half inch of snow accumulation. Some rain-snow mix for your Sunday, cloudy skies with a high near 37. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 39. Currently, 17 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes... Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And last week, if you were with us, I had a guest that I cut short. Well, I didn't even cut him short. I don't think I gave you any time at all. And that is my awesome soft son, Caden Kroot. And Caden is joining me today because we are in the final days of National Family Caregiver Month. And I wanted to use this opportunity to give some shout outs to the caregivers out there that are working hard to make sure that their loved ones are cared for and have everything that they need. So I reached out to Edgewood College. So Caden, real quick, can you tell those listening a little bit about what Edgewood College is? What do you do at Edgewood College? Let's start there.
I am a sophomore at Edgewood College, and I go to the Cutting Edge program, and I'm there for an education degree.
Yes. So you are in the Cutting Edge program, which is a program specifically for
people with disabilities.
People with disabilities. Would you recommend it to other people?
Yeah.
Yes. You're learning a lot there, aren't you? How to be independent, how to work in the school system. It's been a great fit for you. So I reached out to some of your friends, in college to see if they had anything that they wanted to share with the caregivers in their lives, which could be their mom or their dad or their grandparents or people that are helping them out along the way. And I got some responses back. So we're just going to quickly read through these. Okay, Caden, so why don't you start off? If you want to give just the first name of the student and what they have to say.
First person is Nadia Veet, and she said, "My family has done a great job supporting me through everything. They may always make me laugh and smile. They were always there if I needed help with my homework."
Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah, and wonderful.
Wonderful. And I'm going to read one from Bryce. Bryce wrote, "During my high school years, my best friend Sammy has been there for me. She's watched me all through my sports, and I'm like her fifth brother." Wow, she's got a lot of brothers. "My parents have supported me all the time, from scouts to going to Edgewood College to all the sports that I'm in. They have supported my goals and my achievements." Oh, that is so sweet of Bryce. Next is Brandon. What does Brandon have to say?
Brandon had to say, "Thank you, right at home, for taking me places. I really love going to the art museum, to the opera and orchestra performances. Thank you, Casey Sander, my friend, for fighting for social justice. Thank you to my mother for supporting me all the way. You always believe in me and support my goals. Thank you to the Cutting Edge program for my educational support." Wow, fabulous, Brandon.
That is fabulous. He has a lot of gratitude to a lot of people, and that is wonderful. And
excellent.
Jacob had to say, "My mom and dad do a great job motivating me by getting me through the day. They give me advice when I might need it. They give me encouraging words to remind me to get my homework done and be on time."
Very splendid, Jacob.
Very splendid, Jacob. Who else is there?
Next up, we got Marie. She said, "I would like to say thank you to my mom and dad for being there throughout all my life. And my mom and dad had taught me how to ride a bike. And when I was a kid, I also taught me how to take swimming lessons and helped me with swimming. They also have been teaching me how to cook in the kitchen at home. They also taught me how to roller skate on ice." Wonderful, Marie.
Oh, those are some busy, busy parents. Yeah. You know what I'm learning here? Parents do a lot of things, don't
they,
Hayden?
Yes, they do.
And Catherine has to say, I want to say thank you to my mom for supporting me and helping me and encouraging me and loving me. That's all you can ask for, huh? Who else is there, Hayden?
Next up, we got George. Shout out to my roommate. One thing that I like to say about my mom is that she's always make sure that I'm on top of things like assignments and whatnot because she is a teacher and that's her main thing. Something else that is no matter what's going on or what I'm going through, I know I can always either text her or call her or tell her what's going on. And one thing I'd like to say about my dad is that he is one of the people who turned on me to music and has also helped me introduce me to guitar because he is a guitarist. Something else that we run in a lot of errands together, like I'm his to-go person for as much as I don't want to go. I do enjoy it because he runs around and...
So what is he enjoys running around errands with his dad because he tries to incorporate
errands.
That whenever he goes shopping. Thank you so much to my parents for all they do. So, okay...
And it sounds like he's saying he learns a lot from his parents, too. So that's good, too, George.
He does. And, if I'm reading between the lines on this one, I think George likes going and running errands with his dad because probably his dad is in and out and straight to the point and doesn't come home with,